Awesome. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. We've had a great time of worship already. That was really sweet time of worship, so thank you. And last night was such a great time. Like, seriously, guys, it was lit, you know? It was really great. It was, like, a lot of laughter. I think our table, we got an ab workout, for sure, laughing so hard. And being in events like that, you know, it just reminds me how truly blessed I am by this family of God. And I'm just so thankful that I'm a part of this family. I'm so thankful for every one of you. And it was a truly wonderful evening. And I even brought my new foster daughter last night, and I asked her in the evening after we got home, I said, "Did you have a good time?" She's like, "I had a great time." And that was awesome. So, you know, that was her first introduction to Trinity. So I also want to, you know, feel a little bit sorry for Brad and Sam. But in all reality, that was nothing, okay? I led a girls' camp a couple years ago. And this was grade 1 to 6 girls. And they were like off the chart hyper the first night. So, you know, getting to bed was really difficult, like midnight, 12:30. When you got little girls that hyper, it's crazy. So the next night, I thought, okay, I'm gonna motivate these kids, and I'm gonna tell them whichever cabin is quiet, totally in bed, lights out, and asleep by 10 o'clock gets to pie me in the face in the morning. Well, apparently that was quite the motivation because all the cabins went to sleep. And the leader said the next morning, "Marianne, that really worked. Thank you." And I'm like, "No, thank you." So there I was, lined up, 7 pies in the face in a row. Okay? So that was nothing. Tear for Brad. Yeah, I had it all over my hair and everywhere. So this morning I was asked to share an update about LBE as well as give the word and do it all in 30 minutes. So there is the challenge. I'm going to put my timer on right now because sometimes I can get long-winded. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with LBE, LBE stands for Living Bible Explorers, which is an inner city kids and youth ministry. And I've had the privilege to serve there for over 8 years. And this year, reflecting on 2017, it has been a year of a lot of change. For you, those who are following closely with the newsletter, our general manager of over 25 years stepped down this past year, as well as we received an interim general manager, Rob Massey, who has done a fantastic job, and we've really been blessed by him, by his influence in changing the culture at LBE. That's a big task, and he's doing excellent. And then we were praying for a new general manager to come as a full-time position to step in and take the next direction, the next vision and years for LBE. And we found such a man, and he started early spring. However, unfortunately, I was just told a couple weeks ago that he has now resigned. He didn't even make it 6 months. So, you know, there is a lot of changes and a lot of ups and downs, and that really sometimes makes us wonder. But through it all, through the ups and downs, I have seen the faithful hand of God at work, and I've seen his provision, and I've seen how even though we don't know always, he's with us, he's constant. And in 2016, I was able to start a new program, which I talked about last time, called Arise, which is our grade 5 to grade 8 youth. So we put the boys and girls together this time. So, you know, I don't know who volunteered me, if it was God or myself, but somehow I ended up with 95 grade 5 to 8 boys and girls. Okay, this age group is a little crazy. They are hyper, they are undisciplined, they are everything, but they are lovely. And we had a really great time. And I was really encouraged to see my Trinity family get involved. Kyle and Ashley came faithfully on Saturday nights, as well as Kyla came to volunteer at our Arise program, which was probably a bit of a shock for them, but they stuck it through and they came faithfully every Friday. And I know that you have made a lasting impact on many children, so thank you so much. As well as Kenny and Paula came to Arise to speak and share their story. And that was a powerful evening. We saw God just open doors for deeper conversations in allowing these kids to just to be able to talk about their struggles and about their fears, and a time of ministry that was so sweet, a time of prayer that really just brought Jesus into the depths of their soul, into their hurts, into their pain. And so that was an amazing time. And also, they recently spoke at Arise just a couple weeks ago, and this past year, as we're in year two, full swing of the Arise program. LBE also has many other programs. It's not just Arise. We do the grade 1 to grade 4 boys and girls every Saturday, then the grade 5 to grade 8 boys and girls on Friday nights, and grade 9 to grade 12 on Wednesday nights. So as you can imagine, it's a busy place. There's lots going on. And that is just the programs. We do home visitations every Thursday evening. So every kid, every youth gets a home visit by a staff. And that's my favorite part, because you really get to connect with the whole family. I just found out that John was at Arise last Friday. So that was, I heard, was a really good turnout and a really good time. And we're also at LBE really honored and pleased to have John Leckerman on our board, the LBE's board. So I think that is such a gift, because he brings such great insight and wisdom to our staff and to our board of directors. So thank you so much, Trinity, for your involvement. Thank you for partnering with us. Also, Karina and Jenna baked a ton of desserts for our summer camp this year, and that was really appreciated. Those cookies were like off the chart, girl. They were gone like that. And same with the chocolate cake. And so for me, it's such a privilege. It's so encouraging to my heart when I see my Trinity family connecting to my LBE family, because that is the kingdom of God. That is kingdom living. And it's such a privilege for me to be a part of that. So thank you so much, Trinity. Thank you for all your financial support. Just like Jason said, if it wasn't for this church and the people I call my family here, I wouldn't be able to sustain working in full-time ministry like this. And so I just want to thank you so much for your financial support. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you for your emotional support. And even when I was in the hospital, actually today marks a year since I had my pacemaker. Well, since I got put into emergency, I should say. But you guys have been there for me for many things. So thank you so much for all your support and for all your love. And I definitely don't feel alone on this journey. So God bless you. Thank you so much. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of a report of what I've been up to personally. The past 4 months, I've had the privilege to be on a sabbatical from ministry at LBE, which has been the time of my life. You know, I'm like, oh, the time is clicking. I'm almost going back. And I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. But to be honest, it's been a great privilege. I know not everybody is able to have a sabbatical, and I truly thank the Lord for it. It's been a time of rest for me, even healing. I went through a ton of tests back in the fall when I started my sabbatical. And I think that the last time I spoke to you guys, they were hesitant about sending me for open heart surgery. And through just the Lord's goodness and prayer, my cardiologist said that surgery is off the table for now. So, yes, praise the Lord is right. I believe the Lord is fully restoring my heart, and he's given me new valves, and he is going to keep me going in this race. So thank you, Jesus. Lots of prayers. And it's been a fun adventure. I've had many adventures. I drove all the way to Toronto and back by myself. I went to Niagara Falls. I found a little beach all alone. It was really fun. I did a lot of fun things, and I had times of reflection, times of adventures, times of new opportunities. I got to go to the States a couple times to speak at a children's camp, at a children's conference in Thief River Falls. And it's just been a really wonderful time. So I'm so privileged that I had this opportunity. I also spent a lot of time with my family. We played a lot of Settlers of Catan. Unfortunately, I did not win very many games. You know, my new brother-in-law is like hardcore winner. I'm just trying to defeat him. Still not working. So through it all, I've really been blessed by many things. And in the fall, we always have a girls and boys camp retreats. And this fall, once again, my family went out to cook at girls camp. And my mom was like, my auntie mom, she said, Mary, you should come. You should come and help serve one of the meals. And I was like, oh, well, I guess. I haven't really been around the LBE for a while. It'd be fun. So I went. I drove all the way to Gimli, and I quietly came in through the side door. I wasn't really loud. I was just kind of quiet, and I just said, hi, girls. And all of a sudden, it's like, Marianne is here! And I was literally mobbed by these girls. I felt like I was about to fall because they kept pushing into me. And so surrounded by hugs and laughter and just sweet times. And I ended up spending the whole evening there and just shared times of catching up with these girls, hearing their stories, hearing their laughter, hearing what's new in their life, what they're going through. Had a lot of fun time. And I definitely have to say my love tank was filled right back up. So it encouraged me too to remember why I do what I do. Being around these sweet little girls is like being around Jesus. They're precious. And when Jesus said, let the children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. It's so true. You know, some of these kids have been through more than we have ever known in our lifetime, in their short little years. Yet they embrace God with joy. They embrace each other and their leaders with such love, real love. They're not fake. They teach me what it means to let go and let God, to love even when we experience hurt, to trust God in the mess of life. These kids are truly beautiful. And it's my heart that got captured 10 years ago by these kids. And that has made me stay the distance. And it's been challenging because I've seen a lot of people come and go at LBE lately. But it's the heart of God that he put in me for these kids. My sabbatical is coming to an end shortly, and even though I don't know exactly everything I'm going back to with all the changes, as now we don't have a general manager anymore, so there's a lot of unknowns. At times I question God, what are you doing? It feels like more people are leaving than coming. But then I take my thoughts captive and I get a God thought. I know that in heaven, there's no such things as unknowns. There's no such thing as worry or fear or anxiety. No, in heaven, there's total peace. There's total harmony. And I choose to live out of that reality. 1 Corinthians 14:33, the first part says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace." Which brings me to my message for today. Last week, we learned about hope and where real hope comes from. And this week, we're going to focus on the word peace. So, what is peace to you? Is it when you take a deep breath and exhale slowly and sit back and relax after a hard day at work? Is it when you have a clean house? I mean, my house needs some help. Is it when you just sit quietly at a beach and reflect on what God has been doing in your heart and in your life? What is peace to you? Peace is described as freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility, calm or restfulness. Maybe some of you are like thinking, that sounds pretty good right now. I would need a moment of peace. I need a moment of peace, especially our young moms here. Maybe they just don't get time where they're not disturbed, you know? But that's how peace is described. Listening to Simone last night, it was such a beautiful story how she shared so honestly her testimony. And what struck me listening to her was she said, "When I opened the door to Jesus, this peace came in like I had never experienced before." And I've heard many people experience this when they first encounter Jesus, this unknowing peace. A peace comes over us. Peace that is so deep, it takes all fear, doubt, and worry away because trust is developed and a love is felt in our hearts that is so amazing by this amazing man and Lord Jesus who washes away all our ugly and replaces it with his radiant beauty, his total peace. And guess what the best news is? It's free. We don't have to do anything to earn it. We just get to receive it. What an amazing gift. The love and peace of Jesus Christ. I love the scripture in Philippians. If you have your Bible, feel free to open up to Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8. And Paul is telling the church here not to worry. He says, don't worry about anything. Okay, so what all is included in anything? Is it, you know, just one thing? Don't worry about your finances, about your future, about your children, about your health, about your education, about your leaky roof. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Everything. That means the little things too, guys. Not just the big moments where you really need to call on the Lord. It's in the everyday moments. It's in the little things, even in traffic. You can pray for peace. In everything, pray about everything. Pray and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Don't forget to thank him because we serve a good God. A good God. And we need to remember the things he's done in our past. So we can celebrate and thank him and trust him for the future. Thank him for all he has done. then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Wow. We can't even understand the peace of God. It is so rich. It is so sweet. It is so beautiful. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Prayer truly releases peace into our hearts and into our lives. Sometimes, you know, when I felt a little bit distant from the Lord, it's been a hectic week. It's been really busy. You don't have that devotional time. You don't have that connection with the Lord. You've been neglecting that, and you feel overwhelmed. Or sometimes when you just feel overwhelmed by life and by the things you're facing, then you just take a moment, unplug, get away, and pray. You just pour out your heart to God. My best times is when I'm driving. Honestly, the car next to me might think I look like a crazy lady, you know? I'm just like praising the Lord and giving him my whole heart and just releasing. And when I'm done, it's just this heaviness lifts off and this peace comes and you're just like, oh, you can like sing from the mountaintop. You can do anything. You're invincible because you have encountered that peace, that sweet peace. There's nothing better, nothing better. No drug can take you that high. There's nothing sweeter than the peace of Jesus. Often I think to myself, I should do this more often. It's so sweet. The peace of God is addicting because we are created to live in peace. God's peace is different from the world's peace. You can flip to John 14, verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I like how the Amplified Bible says it. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." Wow, God's peace can do a lot of things. What is the circumstance or area in your life right now that you need some peace in? We live in a world that lacks peace more now than ever before. Anxiety in young people is at an all-time high. I read some articles when I was preparing for this from a Times article, and here are a few statistics. It says in 2015, about 3 million teens aged 12 to 17 years old had at least one major depressive episode in the past year, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. More than 2 million report experiencing depression that impairs their daily function. About 30% of girls and 20% of boys, totaling 6.3 million teenagers, have had an anxiety disorder, according to the data from National Institute of Mental Health. Experts suspect that these statistics are on the low end of what's really happening, since the people do not seek help for anxiety and depression. A 2015 report from the Child Mind Institute found that only about 20% of young people with a diagnosis anxiety disorder get treatment. It's also hard to qualify behaviors related to depression and anxiety, like non-suicidal self-harm, because they are deeply secretive. There are people within our church that probably self-harm through anxiety. I work with many youth that experience anxiety attacks. They've described it like they are about to die, like they're having a heart attack. One girl I have known since she was in grade one. I remember when she was in grade seven, she had such deep anxiety that she couldn't go to school for weeks at a time. Her dad would call me and I would go over and I would just read scripture over her. And we would just lay hands on her and pray. She was so bound by anxiety, by fear. The level of stress has gone up in adolescents and adults alike due to such the high pressure world we live in. Pressure to be perfect, to stand out, to perform well, to be successful, to keep up with the Joneses, and all the while losing our peace. Also, the new norm is to cram our mind with constant entertainment, with constant distraction, and constant busyness. Where does peace fit into that? The article on Time says that on an average, people in the U.S., and this is probably likely for Canada as well, check their phones 40 times per day. How many times do you guys check your phones? That's a lot. And young people are addicted to cell phones and devices at a younger age. I mean, in your day and age, you probably didn't have a cell phone. You had to wait your turn to talk on the phone, and all you could do was talk. You couldn't text. You couldn't send selfies. You had to wait a week to get your camera roll, developed before you could see all your selfies. It was a different world. If you wanted to create an environment to croon out really anxious people, we've done it, says Jane Whitlock. She's the director of self-injury and recovery. She says, sure, parental micromanaging can be a factor, as can school stress, but they are continuously bombarded with the world of cell phones, with the screen. In a dozen conversations she's had with teens, parents, clinicals, and school counselors across the country, there was a pervasive sense that being a teenager today is a draining full-time job that includes doing schoolwork, managing a social media identity, and fretting about career, climate change, sexism, racism, you name it. Every fight or slight is documented online for hours or days after the incident. It is exhausting to be a young person today. In all of this, our world has lost peace. And it's trying to grab a hold of what peace it can find. In North America, I don't know if you have seen the ads, but there's an all-time high for meditation and yoga. Even goat yoga, where you have yoga with little baby goats. Apparently it's supposed to be a peaceful experience. You know, my sister has goats. It was not peaceful, them jumping on me. I was like, whatever, you do your yoga, your goat yoga. They pay a lot of money for it too. But why do you think that there's such a high rise in yoga and meditation? Because people are looking for peace. They are desperate for peace. They're hungry for peace. Even as we approach Christmas, we have to be on the guard for our peace not to be stolen and replaced with stress. Our scripture today, it says, or in John 14, it says, peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus' peace is different from the world's peace. We don't have to live in a world of anxiety or fear. Jesus gives us the gift of his peace. Like we read earlier, the scripture from Isaiah, it says, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when we have Jesus in our lives, we have peace. Floyd talked about the branches from John 15, about remaining in him, Jesus remaining in us and us remaining in him. And if we do that, we remain in Jesus, we have the fruit of peace. The fruit of the Spirit, one of them is peace. And so to have the fruit of peace, we must remain in Jesus, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. That's his essence. He walks in, peace has arrived. Boom. And when Jesus abides in us and we abide in him, guess what we're carrying? Peace. We can then walk into a room, into a fight, into an argument, into a meeting, into an atmosphere of great stress. There's my timer. Shoot. We can do that and change the atmosphere, because we are carriers of God's peace. It's like Jesus has arrived. The peace. You take dominion. You take authority over that space. You change the atmosphere because you carry peace with you. All right. I'm almost done. Bear with me. The enemy wants us, though, to get so knotted up, so anxious. He wants to steal our peace. He's on it. He wants us to feel like we're captives to fear, to anxiety, to anxiousness, to worry. But Jesus says, don't worry, but pray about everything. We don't have to worry. We can walk in the peace of Jesus. It becomes a lifestyle, my friends. It's a practice. There are some women here that just like walk in it so easily. You know, they talk to you, they put their hand on you, and you're like, "Ooh, oh, I feel like I had a massage." Because they carry peace. I'm going to share a quick story, a personal story about my life. The enemy really did a number on me a couple weeks ago, and he tried to rob me of peace. Some of you know my story. I don't have a very close relationship with my mother, my birth mother, and it's been strained for many years. And my little sister, who lived with my mother all her childhood, the three oldest were separated from her, and the youngest stayed with her. And so the little one got married October 21st, and I got to be a part of the wedding. I did all the decorations. I was an MC. I did the sound. I ran the show, you know. And it was a beautiful wedding. And so my mom got up to do her speech, and in the course of doing her speech, she said some very painful things that brought up stuff that I thought I had dealt with, that I thought I had laid down. And she brought up, you know, her encounter with my dad on his deathbed, which I thought was a total lie. And she also brought up how broken our family was, and that she and Allison never asked for that, the little sister. And in the process, I was wounded again. And a couple weeks went by, and just because these wounds were freshly opened, it was like experiencing all these things again. And I just really wrestled with God. and my oldest sister and I decided to go and talk to my mother to confront her. And we did. And it was not successful. We told each other we will not use you words, you always, you never, and we will not yell. Well, we did both. We lost our peace. And it was really, it was not as wonderful as I had hoped in my heart. Basically, she called me a liar and that my childhood, how I remember it, I was brainwashed and made it all up. And she would not acknowledge the pain I went through as a young girl. I mean, what was I thinking? She would also come to her senses, but a girl can hope. So we walked away feeling really discouraged, feeling very broken again, feeling like, why do we even try? And a couple days, I was alone with the Lord, and I just really prayed about the situation with my mother. And God, in His goodness, met me. And it was like a peace I can't explain, came over me. And He said, Marianne, you can let it go. You said your bit. You can let it go. And I did. I really did. I gave it to the Lord, and He gave me peace in exchange. And no matter if she calls me a liar, she can't steal that peace. And I said, thank you, Lord. And He gave me the courage to call her and check up on her, because I was actually worried about her. Because I said, Lord, I'm ready to get to know her as you see her. I'm ready to let go of how I have experienced her in the past, and I'm ready to see her for who she is today. And so this Tuesday, God willing, I'm planning to drive all the way to Brandon for a time of sewing with her. My sisters think I'm crazy to put myself out there, but I said, it's the Lord. It is only in the strength and the peace and the love of God that I can do that. It is not in myself, but it's the goodness of God. And this is the peace He wants you guys to experience this Christmas. In your life, maybe you have a relationship that has been broken for years. Maybe you're going through something in your own life right now where you just need a little bit of peace. Remember, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when we abide in His goodness, when we walk in His presence, we carry peace. We encounter peace. And that is sweeter than anything else. So let me just pray for you tonight, this morning, I mean. What does true peace look like to you? Are you in need of peace today? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. The wonderful Counselor, Mighty King, Prince of Peace. Thank you for encountering our heavy situations, our heavy burdens, and exchanging it for your light burdens, for your easy yoke, for your goodness and your faithfulness, and for your peace that rests upon our soul. What a great exchange. Thank you, Jesus. And I just pray for all the people here today, God, that you would meet them where they're at, that they could get away with you maybe today, maybe sometime this week, just to have some alone time where they can just release their heart to you, open everything up and cry out to you, and you exchange it for your glory and your peace that will surround them and lift them up. You are the lifter of our head. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to this world, a broken, dying world, to save us all. You are the antidote to anxiety. You are the great one that this world desperately needs. These teenagers who are experiencing depression at an all-time high, Jesus, they need an encounter from you. And we pray that pour out your Spirit upon this earth. Pour out your Spirit upon this congregation. And pour out your Spirit upon our families. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you so much.
All right, so let's stand together. That was a good message. Very good message. I was writing notes down, thinking of all these points and heart points that were touching me and were applicable to me. And I don't know about you, but Christmas can be a pretty hectic season. But what Marianne was asking is, what does peace mean to you? And what area in your life do you need peace in right now? And as she prayed, I hope the Holy Spirit was moving in you. I want to leave you with benediction, but I want you to know that we have people to pray with you. If you want prayer this morning, we'd love to pray with you. One of the big touch points was let it go. Was a good, it's like three words that it's so applicable to all of us. As the Lord touches us and we are faced with all the knowns in our life, we've got a whole list of knowns. The things in our that are happening around us, circumstances, situations that are knowns. That there is no unknowns in the kingdom of heaven. And that our Father knows it all, and he wants to minister to us in that place. So if you can put your hands out, palms upwards, to receive a blessing of the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Go in peace.